In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about his life. He says, I worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely, exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. Constantly on the move, in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my own countrymen, from the Gentiles, in the cities, in the country, at sea, and from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've often gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. And when I read that, my first reaction is, what kind of a crazy man would live a life like that? Certainly none of us would volunteer. That would never be our preference to live like that. But talks about his motivation earlier in that book. He says, I'm crazy for Christ. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. And if we're in our right mind, it's for your sake. For he says, Christ's love compels us. Paul says he might look crazy to the world, but he had a reason. He had a good reason, because he was compelled by the love of Christ. So we look at the life of Paul and we think, why are you so crazy? What are you compelled to do because of your craziness? Paul gives us a very good insight into that in Romans chapter 1. I thank you, Frank, for reading that passage. And I want to read it again where he says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I wanted to focus on 3 statements that Paul made in that short section, 3 things that motivated him, 3 things that he was compelled to do, 3 I am statements. Jesus had a lot of famous I am statements, especially in the book of John, but Paul had his famous I am statements also. The first one, in verse 14, Paul said, I am obligated to both Jews and Greeks, to the wise and the foolish. Some versions say, I am a debtor. A lot of versions say, I am a debtor. Paul felt in his heart that he had an obligation, that he was a debtor. We don't like to be in debt. We don't like to be obligated. But Paul lived his life knowing that he had a debt. Not a debt that he could pay, but he had a debt. He had an obligation. And I think there's 2 things. He had an obligation, first of all, to Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, writing to Timothy, he said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Then he goes on to say again, I am the worst of sinners. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. Paul felt that he was the worst of sinners. He felt the burden of sin, especially of what he'd done in the past, of persecuting the church and purposely trying to destroy Christ's work. I occasionally have a parent ask me, when do you think it is that you'll know that your kids are ready to be baptized? And my answer to that is, well, when they feel the burden of their sin, I think that's when they're ready. You know, when we know that we're sinners, we know that we have a need for forgiveness, that Jesus Christ is the answer to that need. But when we feel that burden of sin on us, it's difficult to keep people away from the baptistry when they get to that point. And when they feel the burden, they're ready. And at some point, we should all feel that burden, because we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Paul also said, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Again, Paul felt that he'd been bought, that we've all been bought at a price, that we have a debt, and therefore our obligation is to honor God in the way we live our lives. Secondly, I think Paul felt a debt to every person that he ever came in contact with. He says, "I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish." Paul was saying by that statement that I am obligated to every person in the world. Every person I come in contact with, I have an obligation to them. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he's talking about why he feels obligated. He says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." He goes on to say that God has given each of us a ministry of reconciliation. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ. And he goes on again to say, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." The minute we came up out of the waters of baptism, we had a job to do. We had an obligation, and that was to be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world back to Christ, to do our best to accomplish that. We are obligated to be good ambassadors. And that's really the foundation of Paul's motivation. It begins with feeling that debt, feeling that obligation, that there's something we need to be about. We need to be about the Lord's business, which Jesus knew at age 12. We are obligated to be good ambassadors, but how can we do that? Well, Paul's second great I am statement in Romans 1, he says, "I am eager. I am eager to share the good news." What are you eager to share? You can all say, "Ah." That's little Donald Hahn, Daru and Choo-Choo's new baby. Many of you have seen that picture, but I think about 2.5 weeks old now. Little Donald, their pediatrician said it'd be best if they stayed home for 6 weeks, keep the baby away from other people. So that's why you haven't seen him in the last couple weeks, and it'll probably be another month or so before you get to meet little Donald. But when we get good news, like a new baby, we just love to share. We're eager to share that, aren't we? I remember when Orrin and Esther got engaged, word got around real quick that they were going to get married. Good news. I think that showed up on Facebook pretty quick. Yeah. And grandchildren. We love to share good news and share pictures, share about family. I think this picture has probably been on Facebook by now. Indulge me for just a minute as I share about my granddaughters. I have two grandkids, one 19 and one almost 2 years old. This is Christmas pictures. There's the older one with her boyfriend, Joey. Many of you know Joey. Joey was baptized here about a year and a half ago. He was in uniform. That's the way Jason Alexander used to look, right there. And my little granddaughter, Emma, she came all the way from Hawaii in order to have a white Christmas. One more. Kathy has about 400 more of these pictures that she would be eager to share with you. But I'm trying to make the point that when we have something fun and important to us, we're eager to share that with people. Because there's good news. And all those things are good news. It's wonderful news about babies and weddings and and engagements and grandchildren. Those are great, good news. But then there's great news. There's great news like a new brother in Christ. This is Jody Grisham, who was baptized a couple weeks ago. And that's great news because this is eternal news. This is eternally great news. Grandchildren grow up. People get married, but eventually after 60 years, maybe hopefully Kenny and Willeen will have many more, but at some point, all good things on this earth come to an end. But what really counts is eternity. And what's really great is when we have a new brother or sister in Christ. That's what we should really be eager to share. And one of the great couples that inspires me because they're so eager to share the gospel. And the question is, am I eager to share? But that couple right there. And I commend, and you know this too, Lloyd and Evelyn. Nothing gets them more excited than having a chance to study, sit down at the kitchen table and study the Bible with somebody. What a wonderful example of being eager to share the gospel. And I don't say this to demean Lloyd and Evelyn at all, but this is the way I feel, and I think this is a statement that they would agree, that none of us needs talent to share the gospel. We just need conviction. Think back in your life. When were you most excited to talk about Jesus? It was probably right after you became a Christian, right after you were baptized. You wanted to share with your family. You wanted them to know. You wanted people who weren't Christians yet. Your heart was aching for them, and you were eager to share, and you tried to share, and you that was probably the lowest you are in your spiritual maturity, but yet that's the highest you are in your eagerness to share the good news. Facebook is great, and Facebook became popular because people were eager to share good news about family and other things. But we have something much greater to share. We have great news, just not much more than good news. And the last one, thirdly, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We live in a society in this country that is more and more trying to make us feel ashamed of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's trying its hardest to do that. Satan is trying his hardest to make us feel ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ and what the Bible has to say. Satan is at work. But I want to share with you some things that have encouraged me to not be ashamed of the gospel. A lot of you have been praying for Afghanistan. We really appreciate your prayers. The elders and Ty pray every Wednesday night for that nation. This is a picture of this very recent picture of northern Afghanistan. Obviously, it's wintertime there. And that's actually a snowman there that has been put together. And the WFP stands for World Food Program. And basically, there's a piece of bread, and the kids are showing that they need food. They want food from the world. Terrible situation in Afghanistan. You know, the government was taken over by the Taliban, and 90% unemployment. Can you imagine that? 90%. Schools shut down, universities shut down, hospitals shut down. In November, we had a special contribution for Orphan Sunday, over $16,000. Over $5,000 of that was an anonymous contribution given by one person earmarked for Afghanistan and China, for God's work in Afghanistan and China. And I don't know who it was that gave that, but thank you. Bless you. That is being used in a good way to help. I want to talk a minute about a young man. His initials are RS. He lives in Afghanistan. Actually, he's 33 years old, already has 6 children. Obviously, he's married. His father was imprisoned by the Taliban. But he's been a student in World English Institute. World English Institute and World Bible School is a program that's been going on for many years amongst Churches of Christ. And Kathy and I in the last few months have gotten involved, I guess 6 months now, in helping with World English Institute, teaching English using the Bible, which is a very natural thing to do. In this program, half the lessons are grammar lessons, half the lessons are Bible or reading lessons, but the passages come from the Bible. You know, there's no more important book in the English language than the Bible. It's still the best-selling book every year. And much of the English language actually comes from the Bible. Many of the idioms we use, many of the sayings we use. You know, we commend someone who's a good Samaritan. That's straight out of the Bible. We say somebody, go the extra mile. That's out of the Bible. Kathy is the apple of my eye. All of these statements come from God's Word. The Bible is so much a part of our language, and so many people don't even realize how much they quote the Bible on a daily basis. But the Bible is used for that, and they're online lessons. And if you're a teacher, you just have to sit back and click a few buttons, and you can share God's Word. On about a month ago, on December 4th, I was grading some lessons, and at the end of the reading lessons, I have some questions. And this was particular lesson was on the Ethiopian eunuch. And RS made this statement, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that was totally unexpected on my part because I hadn't done anything in particular to make him. But he had been reading God's Word, and God's Word is powerful. So my response to him is, are you already a Christian or wanting to become a follower of Christ? He responded the next day, this will be secret with you. Teacher, here are the problem. I want preach to my close friends to become followers of Christ, and I will be continuing preach here. Obvious, his English still needs some work, but his heart showed that he was ready to be a follower of Christ. He was eager to share the good news. And he was not ashamed of the gospel. In this country of Afghanistan, they now have groups of men hired by the government who work for the government, who go door to door seeking out people who are doing things they should not be doing, such as be following Jesus Christ. And it reminds me a lot of Acts chapter 8, where at the end of Acts chapter 7, Stephen is put to death, the first Christian martyr because of his faith in Christ. And in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Those exact same events are taking place in Afghanistan today and have been for the last 3 months, where people are going house to house, dragging off Christians, putting them in prison, or something worse. One of my other students told me yesterday that he occasionally sees heads laying out in the street. No bodies, just heads as a way to intimidate people. But I was excited, obviously, to get to hear that. So I told him, that is great news. I think you're making the best decision of your ever. I know of Christians in Kabul. There's about 6 or 7 families in the Kabul Church of Christ. Would it be okay if one of them contacted you? They could share more with you about becoming a follower of Christ. They are a secret group. Dear teacher, a couple days later, how can I baptize myself? And we talked in between a little bit about options for baptism. And he did not want contact yet with other Christians. He says, teacher, you're the one led me to write. You are my apostle that led to the way of Jesus, the Son of God in Christ. I am so happy that reading the Holy Bible. So when I got that message, he says, and he continued, thank you very much leading me to true way, the way in which we find our Lord Christ. My response was, yes, you can baptize yourself if that is the only way. And then we went on to talk about the necessary requirements as having enough water where you could be completely immersed. I recommended some things that he should say and pray before he baptized. And later on, it was actually middle of the afternoon here, but it was 2 a.m. in Afghanistan. I got the message, teacher, now I am baptizing myself in a large bathtub. And my response, congratulations, this is the best decision you will ever make. I wish I could be there in person. My wife and I just prayed for you. The angels in heaven are rejoicing today because of your decision. You are now part of the body of Christ. People all over the world who have the same faith and made the same decision. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. I am your brother in Christ. There are other followers of Christ in Kabul. When you're ready to meet them, I can have them call you. They will encourage you. And then I actually asked him, do you have a picture of yourself? You know, we like to always get pictures of people during baptism or right after their baptism. And he responded to the next, teacher, at the time of baptism, I did not take a picture. I was alone. Whatever I do for worship, the question, what should I do for worship? And so again, we went on to talk about what he could do for worship. And January 1st, after we corresponded again, asked about his wife and what she believed. Dear teacher, yes, I baptized my wife also and teach to her. My response, what wonderful news to hear that your wife has been baptized. I am filled with joy for her. 2 days later, January 3rd, just a few days ago, one of my close friends wants to be a follower of Jesus. Exciting. Oops. Sharing the good news of Jesus is the best way to love others. You are a good friend. And that's truly, you know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first and greatest commandment, but the second one is like it, is to love one another as I have loved you. To love your neighbor. The best way we can love someone, to show our love someone, is to not be ashamed of the gospel, to be eager to share the good news with them. So I ask you to please be praying for RS, because we're broadcasting outside the church building. Some of you know his real name, someone from the ladies' class, but please keep praying because he is excited and he's at work sharing God's word. And just before I went to bed last night, I decided to check some emails, and there was another message. I didn't have time to put it on the board. It's from a 42-year-old civil engineer. He's married. And he said, hello, and this came out of the blue. Hello, dear teacher. Hope you be fine. I love goodness and to be good as a human. I like those Ten Commandments those 10 God's commandments that I read in previous lessons. In this lesson, I like Jesus because God sent him to take our sin away. I want to be his followers. I have some questions, and I'm sure my questions would be solved in coming lessons. If not, I will ask you my questions. Thanks and kind regards. And his initials are HS. So pray for RS and HS, because I think HS, we're going to have another brother in Christ shortly, because HS looked at Jesus, read about Jesus, and saw the gentle, kind, loving Jesus Christ in the Bible, compared to the mean, brutal Taliban, which claim to be the followers of God, but yet the difference is obvious to the people of Afghanistan that Jesus is the one to follow. God's word is powerful. God's word is effective always. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to change people's hearts. And God still works on people's hearts. Remember in Acts chapter 16 when Paul was in Philippi, and it was a Sabbath day, and they went out to the riverbank, and where they found a group worshiping, obviously folks from a Jewish background. And Paul started sharing about Jesus Christ, and the scripture says God opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. God still opens people's hearts. God uses his word. His word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces and cuts to our most inner being. So, summary, what motivated Paul and what should motivate us? Paul says, I am obligated, I am eager to share, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the application is very obvious. Do you feel your debt to Christ? Do you feel an obligation? Do you feel the obligation to be an ambassador? Secondly, are you eager to share the good news? And lastly, are you unashamed of the gospel? I would ask you to pray about those things and pray that 2022, this coming year, all of us can have a crazy year because we start being crazy for Christ.